Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It was nice to see the Knicks actually come away with a win opening night, like the Rangers. But, the Knicks didn't think they shot all that well. But what they did do is they made their free throws. And they hit 18 more free throws than the Cleveland Cavaliers did. And they did something that they were unable to do last year, and that was beat the Cavaliers in the regular season. And, I know a couple guys were missing here and there, but it was interesting. Huck Porty started last night.
He did.
That was really interesting for me. That came out of nowhere. And maybe that was something that was being talked about that I didn't see. But, at the end of the day, when you look at the amount of minutes everybody is playing, we do see a little bit of a difference. I feel like the team is different. But I will say, late in the game, Cleveland's getting ready to kind of go on a mini run. And the reason they were going on a mini run is because our buddy, Carl Anthony Towns, decides to grab the arm, of Nick, who is it? I forget which guy he grabbed the arm of. Maybe it was Jared Allen. Yep. He grabs his arm. And all I could think about was you watching this going, what is this guy doing? Why? And then he gives the face to the officials like, what are you talking about? What did I do? And then they obviously roll it back. And then, of course, the announcers are all giggling about it. And you and I are like giggling. Yeah. I mean, like, this is the crap that we watched all the way through the playoffs. And he still hasn't learned, not to do this. And by the way, that would have been an easy bucket for the Knicks, and they would have run away with the game at that point, as opposed to dealing with these mini runs that they went on in the last 5 minutes of the game.
So it's funny you bring this up, obviously, because this is a talking point we had going into the season. So when I watch it, I'm like, all right, I have a choice here, because there's a lot of things I liked last night, a lot. I have a choice. I could either be really annoyed by that because I'm going to project Carl Anthony Towns into the postseason doing the same thing and holding them back, or I could say, all right, this is the first opportunity, a teaching moment here for Mike Brown with Carl Anthony Towns right out of the gate. And if he keeps doing it, then it's a problem. But maybe just in this first game, by the way, he's dealing with a quad strain. He wasn't 100%. He felt like he had to go out there and play an opening night, which I appreciate, actually. But maybe if it continues, then it's a huge problem. But I'm going to give Mike Brown the opportunity to snuff it out,
okay.
All right, and it's not going to happen again.
It was the most ridiculous.
That's just in his DNA, though. He can't get out
it's
of
crazy.
Doing that stuff.
I mean, it's just out of the blue. The Knicks are like totally in control. Everything's going great, and I want to say they throw the ball to Ananobi, and he's going to drive the lane.
Yeah,
and somehow, you know, Mike Breen is saying, you know, he wanted to ward off Jared Allen. He wasn't warding off anything. Yeah. What he did is he grabbed him by the arm, and then everybody giggled about it.
Yeah, well, it's...
And I'm like, you know, you guys can giggle all you want, but this is the crap that we saw last year in the playoffs.
Well, and that's what this regular season's going to be about, is us seeing things that we project into the postseason, you know, much like a Yankees regular season. They're going to make the playoffs unless some sort of disaster happens. They're going to be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. The regular season is long. We know this. And it's, we need to see signs that we actually didn't see in the regular season last year to make us feel better about a run in the postseason. Now, the things that I really liked, 11 guys played.
Yes.
11 guys played, and you didn't feel like any of them shouldn't have been in the game. Another thing I really liked was how they were going to respond, because they desperately wanted a veteran point guard to be in there to run the offense when Jalen Brunson was on the bench. Tyler Kolek, who in summer league was just an atrocity. I didn't watch any of this, but every article I read was like, this guy's regressing, and that's why they were trying to get a veteran. He goes out there and it looks comfortable, looked aggressive. You got 7 points. I think he had 2 assists.
He played 14 minutes.
Yeah, he's going to be, but he's going to get that opportunity. And that's a draft pick. It's a young guy, and that's something that to keep an eye on. And I thought that Mikal Bridges seemed heavily involved. There were different guys that were bringing the ball up and starting the offense. He was one of them. He looked heavily involved. And I love the fact that OG Anunoby in the fourth quarter took over, and he didn't get, you know, go to the bench, and he played the most minutes. And it was like Mike Brown's like, listen, he's our guy right now, and he's staying in the game. So I like that as well. And I just, you know, and one thing that it was starting to scare me too, in addition to the Towns thing, was once again another third quarter where, you know, here comes Donovan Mitchell, he's just going off, and the third quarters from hell last year kept, you know, creeping in my mind, but they were able to withstand it and then have a great fourth quarter and finish them out. So I was encouraged, man. I mean, it's one game, obviously, in a long, long regular season.
But win the opening game and you're building against a team.
Against a team that didn't beat last year. Yeah.
That dominated you last year.
It's a good one.
Which I thought was good. I mean, all of that stuff is good. Everything was great until I saw that towards, you know, the end of the game, and there were these mini runs. And, you know, these things can happen quickly, as we all have seen before, where, you know, all of a sudden you have a bad offensive foul, and then the next thing you know, they come down, hit a three, you come down, you miss your shot, they come down, hit another three. And there was one where Donovan Mitchell, I thought it was going to be a four-point play. I don't know how that wasn't
a
four-point play.
Yeah.
It was called a foul, it just wasn't called a shooting foul.
Right.
You know, and they were trying to explain that on the broadcast too, and I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. I'm like, what are they looking at? I mean, I'm looking at something, and I don't know. I have no idea. But I will say, getting off to a good start, man, that's the key thing. That's the key aspect of this. And, you know, it was good to kind of shed those demons from last year. It's going to be a different team. There's going to be more guys playing. I got to tell you, it was a nice surprise.
Yeah. I mean, and it's clear that the front office and Leon Rose, the instructions to Mike Brown when he took this job is, you got to find a way to play more guys, get people involved. You know what I kept thinking of is your phrase that you always bring up, skin in the game.
Yes.
So with Tibbs, and I didn't want Tibbs fired, but the fact of the matter was that there's a lot of guys that didn't have any skin in the game.
Unless other guys got hurt.
Right.
And that the year that they had all those injuries, that's where Precious Achiuwa had skin in the game.
Yes. So these guys from the jump, and I understand that they had injuries as well, the Knicks, but still, you know, getting these guys involved and giving them minutes and being like, hey, at some point I can be in this game, I think is going to help the entire roster.
As long as the stars are okay not scoring 40 points.
Well,
as long as the stars are okay with less field goal attempts, and, you know, they may not be scoring leaders. They may not be all stars.
Well, here's
why
I think
that's really what it comes down to.
Here's why I think that's not going to be as much of an issue. Is essentially all the guys you're talking about got their big contracts. Like Mikal Bridges got his extension. Karl Anthony Towns, one of the highest paid players in the league. Jalen Brunson got his extension. OG Anunoby got that big contract. So if these guys were going into contract years and their roles were changing and their numbers were going down, that would be a big problem. Now, obviously, All-star stuff is important to guys. There's bonuses there. But I think because the core is all paid, they're fine with getting a little bit more time on the bench to try to go and win a championship. And I actually believe that this group you know, most of them really, really care about winning a title for New York and for the Knicks.
Well, and think about this. Josh Hart didn't play.
Yeah.
So you have a second group of guys, okay, five guys that played a minimum of 12 minutes. All right, so Yabusele, 12 minutes. You had Clarkson, 13 minutes.
Yep.
You had Shamet, 14 minutes. You had McBride, 26 minutes. And you had the aforementioned Tyler Kolek, 14 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's all the guys off the bench. That is a lot.
Sure.
Against a very good team. Game was tight, you know.
Yeah.
And these guys all, like I said, skin in the game is important. And if as long as all these guys that they brought in and Tyler Kolek continue to grow, then that is going to be the recipe for the Knicks the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and when the Cavs were making a run in the third quarter and the second unit was mostly out there, I'm thinking, well, you know, Mike Brown's leaving these guys in a little bit too long, but they were able to stabilize things, and that type of stuff is important too. You can't just, like, you know, build in confidence when some of these bench guys who didn't see, well, a couple of guys who were here for the first time in Clarkson and Yabusele, who played in big games and had big minutes on good teams, but some of these other younger guys like a Tyler Kolek, like Huck Porty, who are going to have much larger roles, Deuce McBride, who has had a big role, but maybe even a bigger role this year, need to know how to be in there in crunch time minutes too.
Well, it's all going to depend. Like, you know, when Josh Hart comes back, somebody's going to be losing minutes.
Yeah,
and you know, who knows? Maybe it's Huck Porty. I don't know. You know, you don't know what Mike Brown's going to do.
Mitchell Robinson, too, obviously.
Right, he's missing, too. That's another guy.
Yeah, so, but we know that, you know, he's a guy that is not around a lot. He was around and great in the postseason last year, and that's really all I'm looking for out of him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't believe in the head coach. So we could be excited about it, and it's going to be far better than anything we've seen. You know, the last few years have been a lot of fun, obviously, with the Knicks and going on in the postseason run, so it's been great. So I do appreciate where the Knicks are at in comparison to where it was for the last 20-plus years. However, when you start raising the bar and you talk championship expectation or aspirations or even getting to the finals – You better come with it. And I don't think the Knicks have what it takes to get it done. I'm not a fan of the head coach.
You know what's interesting? To me, these are almost my least enjoyable types of seasons. Because you really think about how I'm going to watch the Knicks this year, right? I'm going to watch them. And if they don't stomp on a bad team, which they should, like, oh, that was a little lackluster. If they lose to an average team, they're going to get crushed. And if they lose to a good team, we're going to be like, well, I thought this team was supposed to win a championship. What's going on here? So it's almost going to be a less enjoyable watch. I think that that made sense. That's at least what I feel. Now, I like Mike Brown a lot more than you. I believe in him, even though he's never won a championship. But I got to tell you, I don't think that this is a championship team. I don't. I've just got to look at it, and I've got to look at what they don't have. And right now, what they don't have to start the season is health. Now, that can rectify itself. I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson, though, he's always hurt.
And it's ominous when you haven't played for 2 weeks, and it's opening night. Yeah. You're not playing now. And we talked about this yesterday a little bit here. Now, the other thing, too, is they don't have a backup point guard, which, all right, I mean, how many teams that win championships do you really look at their backup point guard? Well, you know, it might not seem like a big thing now, but those are the kind of, you know, 4, 5, 6 minute stretches, whether it's game five on the road, a swing game in the second round or the conference championship or the NBA finals, where that point guard, that backup, stabilizes the game, maybe even gives you an advantage while your star rests. And obviously the star is Jalen Brunson. So that's one thing. And really, I think my biggest deterrent in terms of really jumping in, and I know they're going to be good. They can win 60 games. Maybe they're going to go pretty
60 games?
I'm saying maybe. But yeah. Actually, I was thinking maybe 60 okay. Coming in. I'm probably more mid-50s.
I mean,
I'm dropping a little
yeah.
bit. I know. I get it. It's a little bit, based on the injuries and based yeah. on the point guard, I would go under that, to be okay. fair. Probably more 55, 56. I just say that because I want to let yeah. everybody know that we all know they're going to be good.
Yeah.
But Sal, I go to Karl Anthony Towns. Now, every team that wins, maybe with the exception of Giannis's Bucks, Middleton was good, whatever. You need two superstars. We know Brunson's a superstar. I don't think that Karl Anthony Towns is a superstar. And the things that he's not good enough at terrify me against good teams when it's tough and their structure. So I love this team in terms of rooting for them. I don't think it's a championship team either.
I think you bring up a good point about, is it going to be as fun as maybe we had hoped, right? Because you should be excited. Knicks basketball going to start. I even got into it last night a little bit with the NBA on NBC and watching some of those games. And by the way, like, forget about championship, because really the goal, I mean, obviously the goal is always going to be championship, but just get to the NBA finals, and I think that would be at least doing their job. You're going to lose to a better team, and the Thunder, most likely, whatever team comes out of the West,
yeah.
is going to be better than the Knicks. So the championship, there's kind of a roadblock there, and I don't think we could go nuts if the Knicks did make it to the finals and lost in the championship to one of those teams from the West, but I don't even think they're good enough to go through the playoffs and get back to a finals. But it brings you the point that you make, and I could go over the coach, or we could talk about Cole Anthony Towns, and there are different layers to that, which we're going to see play out in the regular season here. How good is this offense going to be with Mike Brown? And then if he maximizes the pieces that they have offensively, is that going to be good enough to go on and win the Eastern Conference and get to an NBA Finals and compete for a championship? We're not sure about that. But are we doing ourselves a disservice by just going from where we were with the Knicks for all those years to now, where it's like, well, if they don't win the NBA championship or they don't get to the finals, it's a waste of a season. Like, I was a young kid during the height of the 90s stuff, and every year I truly believed they were going to win the championship.
So did I for a couple years.
Or at least had a chance.
No question.
Like, going, it's like, all right, this will be the year they beat Jordan. All right, no, Jordan, this will be the year
they
get
it. Yeah.
Maybe it was fool's gold, whatever, but every year you knew it was going to be a battle, and then once you're in it, you're in it. I feel differently about this team, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, whatever, functioning adult. It's a little bit different, the emotions.
Somewhat.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do know what you're saying.
I want to appreciate and have fun uh-huh. with this year. I just can't go there. And for me, I think it is more about the change in head coach, where I just don't believe in what he believes in to get this team to the next level.
He's not Pat Riley. So right. when we were watching the Knicks back in the day with Al Troutwig, rest in peace, and the Wiz commercials with Boomer and Patrick
yeah,
Ewing,
right.
you know, you had Pat Riley and you had Patrick Ewing. And while Patrick Ewing wasn't Hakeem, he's better than Towns in terms of night-to-night reliability and toughness. Yeah, it's an odd dance here. And I said that because it's almost like a cautionary flare. Like, I don't know that I'm trying to convince anybody of this, because I don't think that I can. I just think it's the reality of how we will watch the Knicks this year. And think about how we watched the Mets this year. The Mets, now I'm not saying it's apples to apples necessarily, but 2 years ago, you know, after Buck's gone, year one for Mendy, all right, the Mets have this really unexpected, even though they didn't win 95 games, but unexpected season. They go to the NLCS, they lose to the Dodgers, here we go, the boom, the spaceship is taken off, which it didn't, but we thought that, right? Now, this year going in, it was a different level of critique. It was like, what, you lost to the Marlins? What the hell is this? Wait, was Soto popped up with two on and two out, down a run of the ninth? What is that? Unacceptable, he's Juan Soto. There's just new levels of criticism and analysis. And this is the reality of where we are with the Knicks. They have built out the roster. OG's not... I think that you can make the case between Towns, OG, Bridges, obviously Brunson, Mitchell Robinson... I'm missing one or two others where they are in the absolute, they're at the apex of their prime, meaning none of those players will get better. I don't think there's another level for Brunson. I don't think there's another level for Towns. I don't think there's one for Adonobi or Bridges. They're really good. Brunson's great. Towns is really good. I don't think that they're still ascending. So the time is now, not to mention the finances and in terms of what they gave up in, with Bridges in terms of really no more first round picks. Like You got to win.
Do you think they could get more out of Towns, though, than, you know, with Mike Brown here and this different offense, get more out of Towns than they did a year ago from Tibbs?
I think it might look better offensively, yes.
Me too.
I do.
Me too.
That's not my concern. I know that's your concern, well, so why don't you take this, I'll go to the defense after.
It's not even a concern. Like, I actually do think that they will, they better, at bare minimum. I do think they're going to get better performance from Karl Anthony Towns and be a better, more consistent offensive team. I don't think that's going to be enough. Mm-hmm. I think when this team needs a little kick in the rear end, when this team's going to be pushed in the postseason, I don't believe that Mike Brown is going to get the most out of these players the way Tibbs would, maximizing whatever he had, not just offensively, but as an individual basis, maximize this player's output, whatever. And last year was trying to fit the pieces together with the new player being brought in with Karl Anthony Towns and a different version of the team. He didn't maximize it offensively. They fell short. Now I do think they'll be more consistent offensively. They'll be better offensively. I just don't think that that's going to be enough to get them through the postseason to even get to a final.
Unfortunately, I agree with you. I mean, I look, and again, this is a very tough way to evaluate a guy who averaged 25 and 12 and was a starter on the All-Star team and, you know, top two or top three All-NBA. Karl Anthony Towns is really good. The problem is what he's not good at is a massive problem when it matters. And the other thing, we got to dispel this. There's a little bit of a misnomer going on. So when people talk about, I think that there's this thought that Dolan woke up one day and in a petulant mood was like, you know what? Hey, we got bounced again. You know, Tom Thibodeau, get out. That's not what happened. The players, as they did their exit interview meetings, the players kind of turned on Tom Thibodeau a little bit. So if that's the case, which it was, now I don't know who it was. I don't know that it was everybody, to be fair. But that definitely happened. And because that happened, don't you think that should be enough evidence that it was time for a new coach, which could be right for Mike Brown?
No, because
if they didn't want to play for him anymore, they probably wouldn't have won this year anyway.
I think they get the wrong players, and that goes back to what we were talking about last year with Bridges. Who was the ones who were crying? It wasn't Josh Hart. It wasn't Jalen Brunson.
I think it was Bridges. I think
it was Towns, OG.
Maybe OG a little bit. I think it was Bridges and Towns, probably.
Right.
But that's 40% of your starting five making big money. You need them aboard.
But I think they're the problem more than Tom Thibodeau was the problem. And again, we don't know the exact things behind it. You want to say, fine, the time for a change? They better then be, specifically offensively, they better be terrific offensively and be one of the best offensive teams in the NBA. And even if they are that, and I think that they're going to be closer to that than they were with Tibbs, is it going to be enough? And I don't believe it's going to be enough. And like I said last year, I think ultimately, whether it's Tibbs, whether it's Mike Brown, whoever it may be, they're going to fall short because I don't believe their star players are good enough to win the championship. Even Brunson, who I love, he's not SGA. Like, he's not that level of player, so he's going to need another guy. Now, I love Brunson. I wouldn't trade him for anybody. He's our guy. I love his mindset. I love his attitude. I love his work ethic. I love his performance.
He's
all that
the man.
Stuff.
We love him.
I wouldn't want to win with anybody else. I'd rather lose with Brunson than win with somebody else. That's me, personally.
I actually know what you mean on that. I got you.
With Karl Anthony Towns, he's just not. Those two together are the biggest problem. Like, you could, if you're not maximizing what they could do offensively, you're really screwed, and that's what happened last year. So the only way for the Knicks to try to get over the hump is to maximize what they can do offensively and hope for the best defensively, but I still think that's going to come back to bite them eventually.
I think it is, and that's the problem. I really wish I could disagree with you. Right, like, I can't wait to watch the Knicks tonight. I know they're going to win a lot of games, but I think about the two things that plagued them last year, aside from no bench. I'm talking about from a defensive point of view, right? Number one, they could not defend the pick and roll. When you got up there and it was, you know, Cat and it was Brunson, that's a massive problem. Knicks were dead. Number two, they really didn't defend the three-point line at all. And the numbers back that up. So did Carl Anthony Towns go to work on his body this offseason? I mean, did he come back 15?
Doesn't look like
no,
it.
He looks... Again, I'm not trying to turn this into just crushing.
He's got like a soft body.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, athletically, he hasn't improved an ounce, okay? So, I say that because that means he's not going to be much better in the pick and roll or when he's in space trying to defend the three. And Jalen Brunson, you know, when defenses target him, as you should, he can't stop anybody. You know, he's an amazing player, but he's a fire hydrant on defense. Can't move an inch. And he's small and he's weak. And, you know, relative to some of these guys who are playing point, like SGA, just get him off your spot. So, and Mike Brown's an offensive guy. So I don't know how you coach around that. The Knicks will be good. Actually, the Knicks will be really good. The Knicks will be really fun. The Knicks are going to light it up offensively. This roster right now, God, I hate to say it, I don't think they win the championship.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ron is in Baltimore starting us off. What's up, Ron?
BT and Sal, thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
I'm excited for the game tonight. I'm excited for the season. Mike Brown, he's got to manage the minutes. He's got to play the bench. I want a fresh, healthy team come playoff time. That's what he's got to do. Obviously, you're right, Sal and BT, the offense. I think Brunson's smart enough to understand at this point. Sure, he'll revert. I guess I want the ball in Brunson's hands late in the game, of course, but can't dominate the ball. We got to get the balance from everyone on the offense. I like that Brunson's lost some weight. I think that's a good sign. I like the fact that he's coming into camp. He's never going to be a great defender, but like you guys said, for us to go where we want to go defensively, we got to be better. And my only concern, yes, Brogdon retired. I don't think Brogdon had much left, but I'll just say I don't love the ball handling. Yeah, I think Bridges is going to have a nice year, and Bridges can handle it a little bit, but I still don't love when teams pressure us full court like the Pacers did or whoever. Okay, yep. See if we get that far. I would like some other ball handler on the team. I get very nervous, BT and Sal, when we got these other guys bringing up the ball up the court. I need to help Jalen.
They need a backup point guard. That's the bottom line. They thought they had it with Brogdon. They probably don't trust Tyler Kolek enough, and probably Kolek is not good enough on defense. Although Brown is not a defensive guy, so maybe that's a little different opening compared to Tom Thibodeau. I actually really like Tyler Kolek, I'm very intrigued by him as a facilitator. I think he's a really high IQ kid, and I do think he could play 10, 12 minutes a night for a really good team. But you know, you got to have somebody who can break the press, and that was a very astute point. That doesn't seem like a big deal because you think, well, everybody could dribble. But when they're really pressuring, and I don't mean tonight. I'm talking about in May and June when they are planning defensively how to stop you. They need some guys who can handle. They don't have enough.
Yeah, I mean, in Deuce, I look at more of a two guard than anything else. I don't look at him as a true backup. I think Brogdon retiring hurts the Knicks. I was looking forward to having a veteran running the point behind Jalen Brunson.
Me too.
He still looked like he had it from the little bit that I saw. Mm. He just didn't want to play. What he's supposed to do. I wouldn't want Ben Simmons, so I'd rather have Brogdon at least be open and honest about retiring, where Ben Simmons would rather sit on the bench and get in for a few minutes and dress nicely before he gets in there. So nothing. And I'm sure they'll find a backup point guard. I don't think that's going to be the biggest issue. I'd have other concerns about this team, how they gel, the minutes. Look, it's going to be an intriguing watch early on to see how they look under Mike Brown. Ronald calling from Inwood. What's up, Ronald?
Hey, Ron.
Hello, yeah. Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo.
Yeah, I heard BT mention right now that the Knicks don't have players that they all reach their prime, right?
I think
and
so.
I got two players that have another gear. I believe Mitchell Robinson, that he should get in shape because he was gassed on the finals.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah, so if he could... You know, I need him. I don't need him to score. I need him to get in there.
Well, I hope not. I mean, he can't. Yeah. You're worried about Mitchell Robinson scoring. We got a problem.
It's like asking Chris Dudley to beat the Bulls.
I mean, come on.
No. I need him to wear them players down so when Towns come in.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more. Josh Hart. If he could develop a three-point shot, it will be very helpful. Because in the finals, when they kick it out to him on the three-point line, he's looking for somebody.
No doubt.
And they're going to let him shoot it.
Yep.
So that's my take.
It's a good call, Ronnie. Thank you. I think you nailed those two items here. First of all right, Mitchell Robinson is who he is. It's never going to change. You can lock him at a gym for a year and keep at the free throw line for the entire year, and he's never going to be good. He just doesn't have it. It's sloppy. His hands are all over the place. He can't shoot. He'll never take a jump shot. He is exactly who he is. And by the way, who he is really good.
Yeah.
If his body stopped betraying him, like, he's phenomenal.
Especially as a compliment to everything else that they have. They need that.
Absolutely. Those lobs, those easy buckets, the offensive rebounds, ignite the break, protect the rim. Mitchell Robinson has great value. Is his body, he's already hurt. Is his body going to hold up? Number one. Number two. We all love Josh Hart. He's a dog. He is a gamer. He goes to the rim. You know, 94 feet. He's fun. He's a rebounder. You know, he's a Knick. Like, I think he could have fit on the 94 Knicks, which is about the highest compliment that I could give any basketball player. And I don't mean just like fit like the ninth or tenth man. He could have played. That's how much respect I've got for Josh Hart. But, guys, he's been around how many years now? Eight, nine? He's not a three-point shooter. I'm not saying he's not going to have nights where he doesn't bury a couple. He's a pro. But he's always going to be below average, and teams will always sag off, and that's always going to be a problem for the Knicks offense.
But we're back to the same thing. I remember having this conversation with you last year where we were talking about the postseason, and even though the Knicks got to the Eastern Conference Finals, it was, well, they're kind of like the Mets or Yankees where they don't have enough well-rounded players. Yeah, Mitchell Robinson is great at what he does, and I love it. Defensive, rebounding, protecting the rim. He's not a threat offensively at all. Josh Hart, intangibles off the chart, hustle, all those things. He can't shoot. Jalen Brunson, elite offensive player, can't defend. Karl Anthony Towns should be elite offensive player, can't defend. Like, how many more guys do we need to go over that? Yeah, he's great at this, but he's awful at that. Yeah, he's great at this, but he's awful at that. They have too many of those guys and not enough well-rounded star players.
I think you laid that out well, because think about, now, you could probably run through other rosters. Hell, I just mentioned the 94 Knicks. We could go through that, and we won't, but you could run through that team that almost won a championship, and you could point out all the good things of the players, and we all know what they were if you lived it, but those guys had deficiencies as well. But it's interesting because for a team that's trying to win a championship, the deficiencies that are apparent, whether it's Mitch's free throws, which prevent them from staying on the court, obviously spacing purposes,
blah, blah, blah.
It's a massive problem. Blah, blah, blah with that. Karl Anthony Towns, you know, slow, you know, a little soft in certain spots. That's a problem when it matters. Like, we know the deficiencies, and it's not like a slight deficiency. It's a major one.
Correct. Like, you could live with Josh Hart's deficiencies. Like, that may be nitpicking a little bit. He's just not a great shooter. The problem is he's going to be the guy that's going to be open.
And my problem's out there. Yes, and my problem's less about his ability to make a lot of shots. I can live with that. My problem is when he passes them up, because now it impacts spacing.
Fair enough.
Shoot him.
I'm just giving you one player, but like, that's the least of the issues. You're right. Mitchell Robinson is a major liability offensively, and when they foul him on purpose. Karl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson, major liabilities on the defensive end. Those are things that are tough to overcome. They haven't been able to overcome it yet, and I don't believe they're going to be able to overcome it this year. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Special treat for you today. The Schmooze will be in the house. Steve Summers coming in studio to promote his book, Me Here, You There.
Schmoozeroo.
I read it. I loved it over the last couple days. Can't wait to have some fun with Steve coming up at 12:30. He'll be in studio with us. We'll get to some Woody stuff from yesterday that we missed. Starting with the Knicks as they get their season started tonight. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the one thing I warn. This is the one thing I warn about the Knicks. You know, there are winds of championship behind them, and there are huge expectations. I swear to God, if this coach becomes one of their buddies, as opposed to coaching them and holding them accountable, it could turn into one of those really middling seasons, and it's going to be frustrating. So I hope that Mike Brown, I don't know him. I know about him, of course, and I've read about him, and I know where he's been. I know what he's done, but you know, the more and more I read, the more and more I get concerned about how he's going to handle the fellas, and hopefully he keeps them on a straight and narrow, that they're going to play defense and that they're all going to give a crap like these two teams last night showed. I mean, that basketball last night was about as high level as it gets.
Yeah, and it's funny you say the whole buddy-buddy thing, and the first year of Mike Brown is generally very good if you look back at his history, but as I'm driving home, BT and Sal played a soundbite from Matt Barnes, who is, he's everywhere now. You know, it was him and Steven Jackson on the All the Smoke podcast, and Matt Barnes did some stuff with ESPN. He's all over the place. He's like one of these voices now in the NBA. And I was going to tell CeeLo about it to go and get it at some point today, and we'll hear it, but I'll paraphrase for you. He basically said that Mike Brown is too concerned with being friends with the players.
All right, here we go.
And he's not a leader of men. Well,
he would know better than I do. No, I don't know the axe.
He played for him.
Yeah, he may have an axe to grind.
Yeah, but that I don't like to hear that. Now, then again, you know, we heard great things from Wally Szczerbiak, who did play for him.
Yep.
We heard great things from Rick Pitino, who, although he loved it, he didn't want to see Tibbs going. He was very positive about Mike Brown and what Mike Brown could do with this roster. So those are two guys we really respect who are not going to lie to us about how they feel about the team. So there is that. But the Matt Barnes thing did not sound good because he basically stamped all the fears that you're talking about.
And that's what I got from reading about everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this has kind of been, well, look, he's here. He's got a great job. He's got a great team. You'd like to thank guys like Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart, and the core of this basketball team really do care, and that's something that we all appreciated about this team. You know, I watched Hartenstein last night, and it was like, man, we missed that guy. And we have been unable to replace him and all the little things that he did for this team when we fell in love with the team 2 years ago. So I just hope that things go well. I have very high hopes, and every Knick fan should have high hopes. They spent a lot of money. They've refortified the roster. I think they're going to go deeper, and hopefully they're going to go faster. You know, that's the idea, I think, behind this.
Yeah.
That it's not going to be as you know, slowed down on offense, that it's going to be run and gun, and it's going to be getting up as many shots as you can get. And that's the interesting thing about, like, what Carl Anthony Towns. We remember that piece we played yesterday from him.
Yeah, where he doesn't know how he fits in yet. Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I mean, the other thing, if you remember right after the season.
I'll tell you how he fits in. He may fit in out in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, when I heard that, the first thing I thought about was Giannis. The first thing I thought.
Yeah, I mean,
about.
That's going to be a thing until it's not a thing. You know, I mean, it really is. He flat out said it himself, Giannis. It was been reported that the only team he would go and play for would be the Knicks. He loves New York. I mean, if things are weird during the season for both of those teams, it's certainly still a possibility. I think the biggest thing for Mike Brown is getting the best out of Karl Anthony Towns. Now, we talked about him in the postseason last year, and he's such a frustrating player. And, you know, I was getting flack from Knicks fans for calling him a loser and a losing player, but I still felt that way and still feel that way because he can be so dominant. He's so inconsistent. He's complaining to the officials all the time. He's out of control. His terrible fouls. I mean, these are all things that do not win championships. I'm sorry. Like, that type of behavior on the court is not going to get it done. So Mike Brown's main goal is to get the best out of the two guys, especially Karl Anthony Towns, the two guys that came here last offseason. And that's Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns.
Well, Mikal Bridges, the second half of the season, figured it out. You know, he got off to a really, really bad start.
Yeah, but you traded so many first-round picks for a better...
And you paid him, too.
Yeah, a better play than what you got. Yeah. It's just... So those are the biggest things. And I remember, you know, speaking of Rick Pitino, he came on the radio station and said that Karl Anthony Towns needed to get in better shape. Now, I don't know if he's gotten into better shape, but he flat out said that's, you know, how do you get the best out of Karl Anthony Towns? He was like, well, he's got to get down to, like, you know, 2% body fat or whatever he said.
Well, he's not going to be 2% body fat.
You know what I mean?
About 8% body fat. But, yeah, he needs to have a Luka Doncic offseason is what he has to have.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like he has.
I don't know. We'll see. So the interesting thing is that if Mike Brown was brought in here to move the ball up and down the basketball court faster on the offensive side of things, you know, the last thing you want is like a 6'11", you know, overweight center jamming things up. I mean, you still need that guy because he's still very talented and he's still a big part of what they're trying to do. And when you hear him saying he's not sure where he fits in, that is concerning. Going into a season in which we all have really, really high expectations with this team, given that Halliburton's out, given that Tatum's out, you know, these guys were daggers in the hearts of the Knicks for the last 3 or 4 years. So those guys are gone. Yeah, now is the time. Now you got to deal with Donovan Mitchell and you got to deal with the Cavaliers. That, to me, is going to be the team.
Maybe
a team like Orlando comes out of nowhere.
Well, remember, Detroit gave the Knicks a really, really tough series last year. I think Orlando's going to be better for sure. But the Knicks really have, I mean, the Cavaliers, it's a consensus that they are a good team and they're better than the Knicks on paper going into the season. But that doesn't mean that the Knicks can't be the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. And what they did in the offseason was all things that they set out to do outside of getting that veteran point guard they had talked about, because once they brought in Malcolm Brogdon, he ends up retiring out of nowhere.
Yeah, but he was done.
Yeah, but the point is, and I'm not saying that you just don't have anybody there now. Like, you were trying to get Russell Westbrook. You were talking about Ben Simmons, which was crazy. You bring in Brogdon, he retires. That's one thing they weren't able to get done. But they upgraded the bench and they got a head coach in there that's going to massage the minutes in a different way than Tibbs did. And I'm going to tell you right now that because Precious isn't around and everything, your new guy, I can guarantee it, is going to be Gershon Yabusele.
Yabusele.
You're going to love this guy.
Okay.
You're going to be yabooing your ass off every morning.
All right.
You're going to say, I wish Yabu could hang around and put a Ranger jersey on and play for my hockey team too, because this guy every night is out there making an impact.
Okay.
You're going to love this guy. Right. So you got Jordan Clarkson. You got Yabu. These are guys that are going to be huge parts of this team. And once again, It's the core. It's these guys. It's Jalen Brunson. It's Josh Hart. It's Karl Anthony Towns. It's Mikal Bridges. It's Mitchell Robinson. Like, especially Bridges and Towns. And if Karl Anthony Towns finally takes his game from that, 85-90% that it's been and gets the full 100% out of himself, then the Knicks are going to win a championship. That's how talented he is. I just don't know if he's capable of that.
He's truly a winning player.
That's right.
Like, he's raising the level of everybody around him, and he's doing everything that the coach is asking of him.
Yeah, is he laying on the ground complaining to the official that he didn't get a call? Or is he getting his ass up and he's running back and he's playing defense, and then in the timeouts he's inspiring and he's not, bitching and moaning about something? Or is he getting some sloppy foul and has to sit on the bench because he's got two fouls in 6 minutes? Or is he playing smart basketball and doing all the things we know he can do?
I do know this, that, and I think you probably know this as well, just as being New York sports fans, that guy has got a lot of pressure on him. He has got a lot of pressure to deliver. And I Knicks fans want to love him. Knicks fans really want to support him. But he's the guy that's got to deliver. I mean, because Jalen Brunson has delivered. Josh Hart has delivered. Mitchell Robinson, when he's healthy, has delivered. Most of these guys that have been here, we all feel like it's been a really good put-together team and roster. Then you bring in the two players from last year, and then you bring in some players this year. But those two players from last year, especially Karl Anthony Towns, especially after what happened in the playoffs and the way that he was perceived, the perception of him and the zestiness and the screaming for the fouls and all this other crap, I mean, that's still in the forefront of the minds of the Knicks fan. So that guy has got a ton of pressure on him to perform.
Well, yeah.
And that's the only reason I say that, if it's Giannis, it's Giannis. If it's not, it's because he has taken his game to that next 10% level that you were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, and he was the Knicks made it clear that they went all in and they were waiting and waiting and waiting, and they used all the picks on Mikal Bridges, and they used their other assets to trade for Karl Anthony Towns, and these were going to be the guys that added to the current roster that was going to win them a championship. And we did not see what we wanted to see in the postseason to the degree in which we needed to see it. But this year, it's almost scary because of what we just went through, with the Mets and all the, and then they get Soto and blah, 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 and they have this disastrous season. But I mean, it is set up for them. If they reach their potential, it is set up for them to be right there in the NBA Finals discussion, just like they were last year. They have to take another step, and they've fortified the bench. They've changed the coach. This is NBA Finals or bust. That's it. There is nothing acceptable other than an Eastern Conference championship for this group.
I'm thinking I got another guy, too, on this team.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ariel
Huck-Porty.
You're a Huck-Porty guy, huh?
Yeah. So he's like one of those little under-the-radar guys.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Why not?
Why not is right.
Get in there. I want that second group to come in, and I want them to beat up the other team.
Yeah. I mean, listen,
I want them to be like the fourth line.
Well, that's why I think you're going to love Yabu.
Good. I like it. I want to see some intensity.
Damn right. And I think they hopefully have the right mix of offensive finesse and never going into a scoring drought, and also that edge that you need on defense, and we're not a pushover group. I mean, that's really what you need. I mean, that's what the Boston Celtics, when they were healthy, were. Were exactly that. They had guys who were hitting threes all over the place, but they also had hard-nosed guys, like Jason Tatum's a guy, chip on his shoulder, he's not getting pushed around. Guy like Al Horford, a veteran presence there, you're not pushing us around. Like, that's the type of team that wins in the NBA these days.
Well, watching this game last night between these two teams, those two teams right now, I think, are the best two teams in the NBA. Last night's opener.
Well, I mean, I'm not ready to crown the Rockets yet. I mean,
I'm telling you, man, that was a hell of a game.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it was, but one team obviously is a defending NBA champion, so the hats off to them with the reigning MVP. But we'll see, what problems Kevin Durant brings to this particular team and where he ends up, maybe at the trade deadline, where he ends up on another basketball team.
Yeah, signing another extension.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I heard a little bit of BT and Sal, and from what I heard, I'll make this statement again. It sounds like I'm the only talk show host who's going to say it, period. The Knicks are going to the NBA Finals.
Let's go Knicks.
And I'm not saying that to jinx you. That's so stupid. I'm saying that for very similar reasons to why I argued with Sean last year. I said the American League is mediocre. Tell me who's better. Well, when I look around the Eastern Conference.
The Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shawnee was right on that one.
That was this year. I'm talking about last year.
Okay.
When I look around the Eastern Conference, and I look at the talent, and I look at the rosters, and I look at what these teams have accomplished, I have a very difficult time. And I say this, if you want to say it as a Knicks hater, fine. Finding the team that's better than you. The Cleveland Cavaliers have proven time after time that they're frauds. Now, can they change that this year? Sure. Do I believe that they will? No. The Orlando Magic are an incredibly talented team that is on the come. Yeah. And they made the big move this offseason for Desmond Bane. They won 41 games last year and haven't won a round in the playoffs in 15 years. Do I think the Orlando Magic are knocking off the New York Knicks? No. The Detroit Pistons went backwards.
Yeah.
Kate Cunningham's a wonderful player. Their bench and their role players have gotten worse. Do I think the Pistons are knocking off the Knicks? No. I'm not even going to waste my time on the frauds from Philadelphia. Why would I bother? Is Joel Embiid going to stay healthy? Forget about the regular season. When it matters in the playoffs, I've got no data that would ever back that up. So the answer is no. So when I go through this conference, just cold-bloodedly, not as a fan, not even as a hater, You're the best team in the Eastern Conference. Can you find ways to screw that up? Of course you can. Will guys get hurt? Maybe. Will Mike Brown somehow set the team on fire? I guess it could happen. But to me, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. So you may not hear it from the Knicks fans around here, but I'm just going to tell you. That's what I think about them.
The Knicks are going to kick ass tonight?
And yes, I'm wearing a Brooklyn Nets sweatshirt as I say this. You can think I'm a liar. You could think I'm doing it to jinx you. Honestly, I don't give a rat's ass. I'm giving you my honest opinion. For the first time in my adult life, I'm genuinely predicting the New York Knicks to go to the NBA Finals.
Let's go Knicks.
And I defy you to tell me who's stopping them. Because if you're going to waste... I asked Sal as they were going off the air. I said, Sal, who's beating the Knicks? Who's going to the finals? He said Cleveland. Mm. He couldn't even say it with a straight face. He thinks that the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have crapped all over themselves in the postseason the last few years, you think they're beating the Knicks? That's adorable. That is freaking adorable.
Very passionate about these Knicks.
Well, I've studied the rosters, and I'm giving you my opinion.
Okay.
It's not passionate. I hope the Knicks lose. I hope I'm an idiot.
They haven't played a second in the Mike Brown era.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
I think they have the best roster in the Eastern Conference.
But they haven't played a second.
Okay.
We don't know what it's going to
Tiki,
look like.
Do they have the best roster in the Eastern Conference? You tell me.
I don't know.
Go Google it. Go look through every roster. You tell me who's better. Tell me who's better.
I can't.
Who, Atlanta? Shut up with that!
It's not Atlanta. I have one issue.
Best roster doesn't always win.
I get that, but we're starting an NBA season,
right.
And I'm merely telling you.
Can we just watch them play a game first, please?
Can we? We will tonight in a few hours.
Screaming that they're the best team in the Eastern Conference?
Well, I'm defending the honor of the IBO.
If you want to say the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference, I don't think anybody could argue that.
Thank you.
The one thing we have to stop doing.
So don't argue it. Let's move on.
No. The one thing we have to stop doing is calling the Cleveland Cavs frauds while making the case for the Knicks. Because the Knicks have proven nothing.
They've proven more than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They keep losing to the Pacers every year.
They've beaten Cleveland.
They've beaten Cleveland, and they've gotten further every single year.
They beat Cleveland once.
Okay.
Right, but Cleveland's
and that was a different Cleveland team. They got way better.
And this is a better Knicks team.
Okay, and they may be. And that's what I'm saying. But you can't call the Cavs frauds.
Yes, I can.
And while the Knicks lose to the Pacers every freaking year.
Yes, I can. I can absolutely say it. The Knicks have accomplished more in the postseason than the Cleveland Cavaliers. I just said it. I'll say it again. It's all true. Until the Cleveland Cavaliers prove more, the Knicks have proven more in the postseason than Cleveland have.
Have they?
Yes. Yeah, have they? Just because you use a weird...
They couldn't close out the Knicks with the Celtics without Tatum.
They beat the Celtics. You got to stop with that. If you're going to have an... If
close
you're gonna,
them out when Tatum
bro,
got hurt.
If you're going to have an argument as a troll...
It's not a troll.
No, it is.
It's not a troll. You can figure out a better roster. Cleveland is no less frauds than the Knicks have been the last couple of years.
You're saying that they didn't beat the Boston Celtics.
They were up 3-1 in the series. The hardest thing to do is close them out. Stop Saf saying they eliminated them. The moment Tatum got down, you saw the way some of the Celtics playoff series
have
played out.
Who have the Cleveland Cavaliers beat over the last few years in the postseason? They've won two rounds. Tell me who they beat.
The same crap.
Tell me who they beat. That's not true. You're
I've
lying.
I've forgotten who they beat.
Oh, so you don't know the answer.
Miami. Orlando, Miami. Okay. So you're holding it against Orlando that they haven't won a playoff series while then holding it against Cleveland that they're the only team they beat in Orlando. That's also contradictory.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. The Knicks have beaten better, more proven teams in the postseason. First of all, they beat Cleveland. Second of all, they beat Boston. They even beat Philadelphia, who's won rounds before.
All right, but hold on. Cleveland lost to Boston, who won the championship. They lost to the Pacers, who went to the championship. Mm-hmm. So they lost to better teams.
Okay. Who's accomplished more in the postseason over the last 2 years, the Knicks or the Cavs?
The Knicks have lost to the Pacers twice.
Okay. Who has accomplished more? You can all deflect the question as much as you want.
By one round, the Knicks have accomplished more by that simple Celtics round.
They have a new coach.
Right. And the Knicks did nothing to capitalize on that.
And a disgruntled star.
Yeah. They're the same frauds the Cavs have been.
No, they're not. Just because you say it doesn't make it true.
Just because you say that doesn't make it true.
No, I'm backing it up with the facts of
who they've... You're backing off of 1 second round series.
Sean, in the last 2 years, the Cleveland Cavaliers have won the first round of the postseason. They did it against a young Orlando Magic team who has a lot to prove, and the Miami Heat who sucked, okay? That's who they beat. The New York Knicks have beaten the Cavs, the Celtics, the Sixers.
Oh, the Sixers were frauds.
I'm not even including
the Pistons, who were young.
Excuse me.
The Celtics is the only series you could bring up.
Sean, the Sixers have accomplished a lot more than what the Magic have. The Magic haven't accomplished anything when Cleveland beat them in 7 games. Like, again, I say this with all due respect. I don't actually feel like I'm arguing with you. I feel like I'm arguing with a troll. Let me be the troll.
I'm not trolling.
Well, you wanted to be the conquering hero. When you're the conquering hero, you open this up to Sean trolling you. Cleveland is soft and fraudulent until proven otherwise.
100%.
Period. Watch them play basketball. They are soft. They are weak-minded. Until they prove it, they are that. They are the fraudulenteers. We'll see. They'll get a chance in the postseason, but in the playoffs, but they're frauds.
The team they beat last year in the postseason won 37 games, the Miami Heat. That's who they beat in the postseason before they bowed out in 5 to the Indiana Pacers. The year before that.
They also lost Darius Garland, only played 2.5 games.
Okay, cool.
Am I citing
Knicks injuries?
No, I'm just talking.
Okay, the reality is the one round they won last year was against a 37-win team. Okay? Who shouldn't have even been in the real playoffs. The year before that, it took a 7th game against an Orlando team that didn't even know what the playoffs were. That's who they've beaten. To say they're anything but frauds is disingenuous. And Tommy laid it out best, until proven otherwise. Like, I'm open to the possibility that changes this year, mm-hmm. but arguing the reality of what the Cavs haven't done is unfair. And it makes me feel you're only doing it to prove a point.
No,
any issue with Cleveland. I like Cleveland. I like Kenny. I like Jared Allen. I like the Cavs. I love Donovan Mitchell.
The Knicks better not lose by 20 tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, stop. A regular season game is going to prove something?
No, but I'm just
saying. Come on, T, you're better than that.
The amount of trash you're talking? Like, I don't even, it doesn't what? Even, we don't know. I have no idea what the Cavs are going to look like. I have less than an idea of what the Knicks are going to
look
like.
I'm saying it based
it's a
on.
New coach. Kenny Atkinson, as long as is still the head coach of the Cleveland
Cavaliers.
They
won 64 games last year. Right, what are they doing in the playoffs?
It's not, okay, I'm not even talking about the playoffs.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm just talking about this team and the growth that they've taken over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, they were fourth seed, right? They won 53 games. They won 11 more games the next season. They're number one seed. Yeah, they crapped the bed in the playoffs because one of their stars got hurt. He's a liability anyways, and that's what happens in the postseason defensively. But I can't look at them and say, yeah, they're frauds. They're not going to do crap this year. That's just leaving you open to being embarrassed a take that you have no idea is actually going to happen.
No, I'm saying it based on what they've done in the postseason.
The Knicks lost to the Pacers! Let's stop pretending that didn't happen. You could throw the win over the Celtics all we want. The Knicks have every right to right the ship. The Knicks should have been in the finals last year. They lost to the Indiana Pacers.
Right.
If you're going to sit here and scream and yell about the Cavs and frauds and frauds and frauds.
They are.
The Knicks stepped up to the plate
after
eliminating the Celtics and lost to the Pacers and had no business doing so. That puts them on fraud alert.
I'll just ask you guys a simple question. We could all move on. Mm-hmm. And just be honest with the answer. Because Tiki, I get it. The future is the unknown. And the Cleveland Cavaliers have every right to rewrite their script. Right. I acknowledge that, okay? Who has accomplished more in the postseason over the last 2 years? The Cleveland Cavaliers or the New York Knicks?
You know me, past means nothing.
I'm just asking the question.
It doesn't matter.
So
I think they both accomplished
it?
Nothing.
That's ridiculous. Okay. You know what?
Doesn't matter.
Then I got one guy in Tiki who's like, I'm Mark McGwire. I don't want to talk about the past, only the future. And I got another guy who's like, I'm just going to deny reality. So that's where we are.
You're denying reality.
No, I'm not.
I'm getting sick of you calling me a troll. I'm not trolling. They lost to the freaking Pacers in back-to-back years, who they were better than.
They got to the Eastern Conference Finals by beating the Pistons and the Celtics. The Cavaliers beat a 37-win Miami team.
And the Pacers, almost beat the Thunder in the NBA Finals. So put some respect on their name.
Stuff, man.
Well, keep that same energy when your bozo hockey team loses again to the Panthers. Let's get that squeaky voice going in April, tough guy.
Everybody knows the Rangers are frauds, so it doesn't matter.
It's so true.
Knicks get their long, important regular season underway tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Already heard some of the injuries that they are dealing with. But this regular season, man, this cannot be a rocking chair type of regular season where it's all about, you know, the postseason and who cares. Because, you know, last year, you know, they scuffled and were disappointing in the regular season for most of the year. Now, they ended up winning a series against Boston. We didn't expect them to win, but still ultimately didn't get any further. Did not get to an NBA Finals, which they're going to have to do clearly this year to be a successful season. But this needs to be like a statement regular season. This can't be we're figuring things out or blah, blah, blah. No, you are one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. You need to have close to 60 wins, if not over 60 wins, and you got to be going in there with home court advantage in the playoffs, and you got to be ass kickers, and you got to be intimidating. This is not going to, I don't want to see this, well, you know, it's a new system and blah, 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 it's going to take us some time. No, you're as talented as any team. You're more talented than any team in the Eastern Conference. You might not be the best team together right now, but you're more talented than any team in the Eastern Conference. Belt to ass.
All right, well, all right, so here's the thing. I just read this story that Matt Barnes put out there and his comments, and I'm like, uh-oh. Hopefully this guy learned something, because according to Matt Barnes, Ron Artest and Kobe Bryant just ran over his ass. Those are his words, not mine.
Yeah.
And that they were subbing themselves in and out of games. I hope he learned from that experience, and I know that those are two very strong-minded and strong-willed players that you were coaching back then. I don't necessarily know that the Knicks have anybody quite like that on their team.
Not Kobe, that's for sure.
And I would hope that the guys would be respectful to the coach.
Yeah.
But this is what I've been talking about, and this is why maybe these players ran over Tom Thibodeau.
That's an interesting one. I mean, they definitely sold him out, but I don't think they ran him over. It didn't feel like that.
No, I mean, they sold him out is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They didn't run him over. I mean, they sold him out.
Yeah.
And now this is the thing. And I would always be careful, but these players make so much money these days. These players are so entitled. The game is completely different. You go back and you watch 90s, 80s, 70s basketball. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. Those guys were killing each other. They were, you know, the bad boy Pistons, all that kind of thing. This is now more of a, you're going to a Broadway play. You know, you're going to be entertained for 3 hours, have a couple cocktails, and you're watching your best guys playing the game that you love the most. If they were all like last night's game in OKC, I would be all great with it. But, you know, here's the thing. What is tonight's spread? Cavaliers got to be favored with all these guys hurt.
I'm going to go to FanDuel Sportsbook, Boomer, to check that out for you.
Please do that. Because I'll tell you right now, this is going to be, I feel like in my bones, this is going to be like a disappointing night for the Knicks.
You feel it in your bones?
I feel it in my bones.
Wow.
I don't know why I feel that way, maybe because of the injuries that CLO was pointing out.
Knicks plus 1.5, so the Cavs are favored by 1.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see the Cavs winning by 10.
I mean, don't take your Ranger negativity and now apply it to
I'm not being affected by not scoring at home.
This is a misplaced anger spot.
I know the Knicks will actually hit a basket or two tonight. I know that. That's going to happen.
This is definitely a misplaced anger spot.
I'm just telling you that Cleveland, you know, comes in with Donovan Mitchell. Remember last year they ran away with the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, that team, how many injuries do they have?
Yeah.
And everybody's pretty much back for them.
No, I think Garland's out.
He's the only guy that's out?
I'm pretty sure that Darius Garland is not playing in the beginning of the season. But, yeah, I mean,
If Carl Anthony Towns doesn't play, that's a different situation. But it does.
Mitchell Robinson's not playing.
Okay. And the sky is blue. I mean, this guy misses how many games every year? So it's like they know if there's one guy they know how to deal with.
I don't want to be negative because I have actually picked them to go to the finals. Oh. But I'm just.
You feel it in your bones it's going to be a bad start at the Garden?
The way the window's open for them now, the winds of a championship are behind them. And they need to take it to the next level, especially if the coaches, if the players backstabbed and shivved, Tom Thibodeau. Now it's on them. Now it's on them. You got your recess coach. Let's go.
Your recess coach.
Well, I mean, that's what Matt Barnes is basically saying.
Yeah. DeAndre Hunter also on the injury report for the Cavs.
You know, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, G.
No, well, I know.
We need a softer touch.
That's what they went for.
Yeah, but you're coming out here saying, oh, you got to get out there and get after it.
You do. Mm-hmm. This is a statement regular season, and Mike Brown in that first year always has a great first year.
I hope you're right now. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus, as you know. You can't count on much these days, but when Al reminds me, you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Yeah, so Garland is out still with the offseason toe surgery.
All right, well, that's
Max
good.
Strus is out.
Oh, that's good.
Foot injury. And DeAndre Hunter got a knee contusion in the final preseason game. So
maybe the Knicks will win.
Game time decision.
Maybe the Knicks will win.
All right, so now you're on. You're back on. You're feeling it in your bones now that they might win.
I don't know. I just, you know, it's us as New York sports fans. We have expectations. And for some reason, they never get lived up to.
Yeah, so.
It's the only time, like, nobody expected the Giants to win their Super Bowls when they won them.
It's the best type of seasons to have. Those right there, when there's no pressure.
And they won the Super Bowls, and they beat the undefeated Patriots. That's what made it so amazing.
Yeah, as I always say, one of my favorite phrases, expectation is the thief of joy.
You know, you say you always say that?
Yeah.
I know, I've heard you say that a couple of times. I wouldn't say that you say that all the time.
I do. More and more away from the microphone to people that I'm trying to, you know, give them advice in their life. You know, can't expect things from people. You can't expect.
It's kind of like the Mets had expectations this year.
Yeah.
And when you don't live up to those expectations, where's the joy?
Not there.
But the Knicks do have expectations.
And if they live up to them, great. If they don't, any good thing that they do gets wiped away and is going to be superseded by the negative expectation. Thief of joy.
Knicks obviously start tomorrow night. We got into that a little bit earlier as far as the comments go with Mike Brown. I know you're excited about Mike Brown. I am not. I am curious, though, to see BT the offense here with the Knicks because I do think it's going to be better. Although I don't believe, like, Cat is to me the biggest impact player here. I mean, we know what Brunson's going to do. We know what the ancillary pieces are going to do. Is Cat going to improve significantly under the offense of Mike Brown versus what he did against Tibbs? And then is that going to translate in the postseason? That, in fact, may be the biggest question, at least from my perspective, going into the next season this year. And I don't think that he will.
I actually think the greatest beneficiary of this is going to be Mikal Bridges, who is going to love him or not sold on him. I get it. And I see both sides for sure. You know, a little soft for my liking with certain things, but when he's on, he does a lot of good things. I think this free flow is going to be very good for him. I think in terms of the Cat point that you bring up, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see a better version of Karl Anthony Towns. Listen, the numbers were really good last year. He was a starting big on the All-Star team. He was what? Was he second or third team All-NBA? He had some great accolades there. I think Karl Anthony Towns is a really good player with a ceiling. He's a little slow, he's a little sloppy, and he's a little soft for me. By the way, there's a million things that I love about him. That's my reservations about Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not trying to just diss him because I know he's a really good player and he brings a lot of value. The hope here, Sal, is that you get a little more pick and pop with him and Brunson, and that as time goes on, that Jalen Brunson is asked to do less and less and less leading up to the postseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I expect that to be the case because they're not going to have the heavy minutes in the regular season. That's in part of the design to have more depth than the Knicks had before. It's in part of, I'm sure, why they went away from Tom Thibodeau and went with Mike Brown. I just don't believe that it's going to work. Now, it's going to take a long time. We're going to be here, well, hopefully we'll be here enjoying the ride of the course of, you know, the regular Knicks season here with these games where usually we don't, I mean, I'm sorry. But
I got you.
But with the Knicks regular season games, we usually don't dive into that the way that we would this year. It's going to be important in the regular season this year because it's a new head coach. Last year was a little, all right, let's see what the new mix of players are going to do.
Yeah, and Cat was brought in like basically now.
Correct.
Like 2 weeks before the start of the season.
So it was a bit later,
figure it out, guys.
Later than normal. Right, they didn't have time to gel, which is in part of why I wanted to have Tibbs back. Because I didn't think that it was fair to judge him solely on the new iteration of that Knicks team in just 1 year. But anyway, it'll be fun to digest and break down each game now because there is a different look, a different feel with Mike Brown and the pieces that they have in what should be. Now, I'm not saying that they are going to win the championship. I don't even think they're getting to the NBA Finals. I feel like that's kind of the normal expectation. Well, at the very least, with the East wide open, the Knicks are going to be an NBA Finals team. I'm not seeing that. I still think the Cavs, who they play on opening night, can be very dangerous. I'm just not there yet. But those are the expectations. I mean, this should be a team that should go compete at the highest level to go win an NBA championship.
The Knicks are entering a very interesting point of analysis here. We're way past the cute little story of COVID with Tom Thibodeau willing, you know, Julius Randle and a bunch of nobodies to a playoff spot. That's gone. You know, obviously, the Knicks have ascended to a point where they're one of the premier teams in the Eastern Conference. That doesn't get anybody excited anymore. It's winner or that's it. You either win or you came up short. Now, if there's catastrophic injury or injuries, God forbid, then that's a different point of analysis here. But, you know, to me, and there's I think the Cavaliers would be a tough playoff sell because Garland's not healthy now. So there's things downstream that are going to get a little trickier. I mean, if the Knicks don't win like low 60s, like their eyes shut, then they get off to a bad start. I think the Knicks are going to obliterate the bad teams, and there's a lot of bad teams in the East, but they have not won anything together. Karl Anthony Towns in the playoffs. I know he had some great moments. He still worries me a little bit. You know, they haven't played opening night yet. Mitchell Robinson's already might not play. Hasn't played at all, basically. I mean, they're doing maintenance nights with this guy, which is always terrifying. They got the pieces. And there's also some questions. I think the Knicks will be really good, but now the curtain goes up.
BT and Sal on the Fan. I just saw was watching the ESPN scroll over here. I guess there was a report from Trey Wingo, total side note from the NBA. Trey Wingo said that the Dallas Cowboys trying to inquire about getting Max Crosby from the Raiders, one of the best defensive players in the league. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, if the Cowboys could add Crosby here, maybe Dallas can become something different. That, you know, Dallas right now 3-3. That's better than what people expected.
Now they got a tie as well, 3-3-1.
Dak plays. Excuse me, 3-3-1. Yes, nope. Play maybe better than expected. Dak Prescott is playing much better than anybody could have thought. And obviously, the defense for Dallas has been a big issue here. Trading Micah Parsons obviously didn't help that. But if they could get Crosby, I mean, he is a stud, dude. Now, again, I don't know if the Raiders are going to make him available at 2-5 and going nowhere. Maybe they would. Maybe they could get a haul back. Who knows? But that could change the landscape of not only the NFC East as it pertains to the Giants, but in general with the NFC.
And it's a move they got to make. I mean, you can't force the Raiders to trade them to you, but you can entice them enough where they eventually do. Because we're talking about, like, you know, the Giants getting a wide receiver, and we've had that conversation a few times. But at least if they don't, you can make the case, well, like, if I'm Joe Shane and they want too much for Jalen Waddle, I'm like, if I was running the team, I could say, I'm just getting going here with Jackson Dart. I need these draft picks to build out around him. Dak Prescott's not a kid. He's 30-something. You know, he's making a ton of money. The window's shutting here. And by the way, you know, Dak Prescott has done almost all of this without CeeDee Lamb, who just got back.
I know. He's been banged up. I know. Yeah. And no, it's been impressive what he's done. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Whatever you want to discuss on this Tuesday in the final hour is fine with us. Steve is calling from Stanford, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Steve.
On the Fan.
Thanks.
Appreciate
it.
So, BT, we've gone through this before. I heard about the St. John's number one. You're going to be getting my UConn calls like you have all last year.
Bring it on. For the first time in years, I could say bring it on.
Today was Big East Media Day, right?
Yeah, Big East Media. Yep. First preseason poll, yep.
You could say bring it on, but as we talked about, there's only one team in the Big East that proves it once it comes to March.
I get it.
And that's the team in stores that goes back.
He's not wrong. Johnny's haven't won squat yet. They're loaded, but you got to win. I much respect for the UConn Huskies and Hurley, no doubt.
And they're going to be really good this year with Silas Demery Jr. now reminding me of Kristen Newton at point guard, Braylon Mullins replacing Lee McNeely. Don't sleep on the Huskies.
No, I'm not. I just said that they're really good.
I'm about to sleep about you talking about the Huskies. Can you get to the Knicks point, please? Jeez, come on.
Okay. My bad. So on the Knicks, I know you guys were talking about Mike Brown and what he's going to do offensively. This is where we all align, so I'm a huge Knicks fan. The one thing is I don't want to hear about what he's going to do offensively, and I understand the free-flowing offense and that Tibbs is a defensive coach and all of that stuff, but I want to see if Karl Anthony Towns is going to make an improvement. It's not going to be – that man was lights out for us offensively. Mm-hmm. It's going to be can Mike Brown teach him to play the pick and roll? Can Mike Brown teach him not to sleep defensively?
No.
Can he be more of an impact in the middle?
No.
Those are the things we need to be talking about. Can Mike Brown bring?
Well, the answer is no.
Hold on, Steve, I disagree with that.
If Tom Thibodeau couldn't unlock that, why would an offensive-minded coach in Mike Brown, who I liked if the Knicks hired, but no, the answer is no.
Well, I mean, I get it, and that's my concern. My concern was never offense with this team.
It should be offense. If you were paying attention, here's the reason why. Tom Thibodeau did not maximize Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns together last year. So you could say, well, offensively, they were pretty good. So that's the point. Mike Brown's not going to come in here. And thanks for the call, Steven. Good luck.
Thank you,
to your
Steve.
Huskies.
We'll see you soon,
for the
buddy.
Johnnies. Yeah. Mike Brown is not going to come in here and make Karl Anthony Towns a defensive player. That's not what he is. If Tom Thibodeau couldn't do it, you're right, BT. Brown's not going to do it. So what can you do instead of that? And that's why the Knicks, I think, in part, went away from Tibbs, saying, well, he's not ever going to turn Cat into it. Nobody's going to turn Cat into a defensive player. So we need to maximize what this group of players can do offensively, which is something that did not happen last year.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, now you're going to see more, if he's healthy, more Mitch Robinson at the five, Cat at the four. You saw a little bit of that a year ago when Tom Thibodeau obviously had to make some adjustments here.
I want to play him on the perimeter. We've talked about that
last year.
You've
always said that.
Yeah, I know.
You've said that a lot here.
Because he's an elite shooter for a big.
There's no doubt. He could stroke him. He could shoot. I mean, 25 points a game, a ton of rebounds. Think about this, guys. Think about when the Knicks were at the lowest of lows, and we said to you, hey, you know, you're gonna somebody, you know, in a couple of years, say if you didn't know who Cat was, in a couple of years, you're gonna have a 7'1" big who averages 25 points a game, is 82-83% from the line, which is money for a guard, let alone a big. Patrick wasn't that, and 42-43% from behind the arc in the modern NBA.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? I mean, and that's what he is. Those are the stats that I just recited. The problem is that it's not a big problem because the good is much more than the bad with Cat. But the numbers are one thing, and then you watch him play. And you watch him trying to go to the rim against the Pistons. And I know he had the monster three. I get it. Like double pumping against smaller guys and getting pushed off his spot and not protecting the rim. He's not a perfect player. If he was, he'd be one of the three greatest centers in the history of basketball if he was a defender.
He'd be an NBA champion if he was. He's that big. He's that skilled for that size.
Yeah.
That if he were buttoned up and doing all those things, he would be an NBA champion.
If he was Patrick Ewing defensively, he'd be a champion.
He's been surrounded by enough talent, so where he's been part of the problem in the postseason, both here in New York and in Minnesota.
And true. And he could not, I don't mean the last year or so when they got there, but he was really unable to elevate the Timberwolves from a horrendous team to anything that was relevant. I mean, he had a lot of lean years there. It's one thing to do it if you're on a bad baseball team. When you're a star and the first overall pick and you're on a basketball team and you're not getting to the playoffs with eight in each conference, how did you impact the bottom line?
And for the record, I like Towns. He made some tough buckets. The problem is too many times he tried to take over the out of control ball carrying into the paint.
The elbows flip. That drove me nuts, dude.
No, just stick to your strength. So I'm hoping that Mike Brown could have him playing where he needs to be playing, which to me would be more on the perimeter. Matt is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. What I wanted to bring up was the Knicks. I'm tired of the whole Tom Thibodeau victim card because, I mean, after watching him for the amount of years, and then you look back at last year, they had almost 950 minutes with that starting five, which is almost two seasons worth, and he still couldn't unlock the combo between Brunson and Cat. So I just wanted to hear your take on, like, why there's still a victim Tibbs conversation when at the end of the day he had almost two seasons worth.
I'll tell you why, Matt. I got an answer for you. I got an answer for you. Good call. It really is a good question. Now, I'm not doing that. Number one, he's got $30 million coming to him, and he's parachuting it. He was at St. John's practice, up at UConn practice, at the Celtics practice. Tom Thibodeau's good. Trust me. The reason why I think he does get some sympathy from some, or treated unfairly, is because the Knicks were so wretched that there's almost an elevation based on the rightful appreciation of what he gave us after years of darkness.
For me, it's not even about that. It's not about a victim, Tibbs. He's the better coach. It's simple. I believe Tom Thibodeau is light years better as a head coach than Mike Brown. Now, we could disagree on that. We can see what happens with the Knicks. But I believe Tom Thibodeau does things as an NBA head coach that Mike Brown could only dream of doing. So that's why I don't like it. I don't feel bad for Tibbs. I think the Knicks screwed up. The team that I care about, I think they screwed up hiring a coach who I know is a proven commodity and built this team to where they need to be. And you can give me all the numbers you want. He was here with one season with these guys, and they weren't even fully healthy until Mitchell Robinson came back toward the end of the year. So do the math on that. Like, he didn't have nearly two seasons. He didn't even have one full season with this group. That's it, but it's not about, you know, sympathy or victim Tibbs. He's going to be fine, to your point. I just believe he's a better head coach. So why in the world would I be on board with firing the guy who I believe is a better head coach for a guy who's less than? Even though I understand that the offense from Mike Brown should upgrade this team and maximize their potential to their hope to a championship level. I just don't think it's going to get there because I don't think that they have the right pieces around Jalen Brunson.
This is a complicated, even though you know where I stand, but an analysis for me because I've got great respect for Tom and I know he's good. The thing that I had to reconcile a while ago, and I did, I don't think he's going to be great. Like, I don't think there's a next level to Tom Thibodeau, and I'd like to win. It's bad enough the Jets can't even score a touchdown. I'd like to get a Knicks championship at some point, and the more and they've got the horses to do it. And the more I watch Tom Thibodeau, whether it's, and you guys know this, Sal, you too, we watch them too many times. Guy's red hot, takes him out. Too many times, he just doesn't utilize the bench, which makes you tired, and guys get banged up, whether it was OG 2 years ago, whether it's, I'm not going to say it's Mitchell Robinson. I think he just has a bad body with that. But too many guys get jacked up. You know, Josh Hart playing 40 minutes a night. Like, he never adjusted. So to me, Tom Thibodeau's greatest strength, going back for the majority of his career, was defense. It's now an offensive league. So what he was best at is no longer as important because now you need more advanced offensive philosophies, which Mike Brown has, and Tom does not.
See, that's where we disagree.
There's nothing to disagree about. He's an elite offensive coach. Nothing to debate.
I don't think he's a good head coach.
But that's different than saying he's not a good offensive coach. That's what he's good at.
You could say all those things about Tibbs, and then I could say, fair enough, who's the guy that you're bringing in? And they chose Mike Brown. And by the way, they chose Mike Brown after basically asking every team in the NBA to interview their head coach. I mean, how many guys do the Knicks need to get to before they finally settled on Mike Brown, who by his own former player's admission, even if it's just one, I bet you more, is a pushover and is friendly and tries to be too player-friendly. Like, I don't get behind that. Offensively, sure, I need to see it. I want to see what he does with this elite offensive group that the Knicks have. We said it last year. It pertains true this year. It's the best or the most talented offensive team in the history of the New York Knicks franchise. Let's see it. Mike Brown's some offensive guru and he's a good coach. Then they better go out there and win 60-plus games and do it in the postseason and at the very least get to an NBA Finals.
I'm going to beat you here. I mean, we think that Dable's seat is hot. If Mike Brown's not rolling with this group and with these expectations and with, you know, Jason Tatum out and injuries across the board in the East, he's going to get crushed, and I will lead the crushing if I don't see what I like, I promise you. But there's a couple of different things here. Will they win a championship? I don't know. We could debate that. Has he been an elite offensive coach? Yes. Like, that's what he does. Do I think it was time for a new voice? I do. That's why I say it's complicated with Tom Thibodeau, because I know he's really good. And the other thing that's going to be interesting, now he's got $30 million, so there's buyout stuff, whatever, and offset language. Nobody even tried to hire Tom Thibodeau. Now, it was late in the coaching cycle. I get that. There's only so many openings here. And he's going around, you know, doing some coaching clinics now, and people respect his knowledge. But if somebody gets fired for a team that was supposed to be good this year, do they bring in Tom Thibodeau? I don't think that they do. And if they don't, that says one thing. If they do, well, maybe he's got more value than I perceive him to have around the league right now.
He's making rounds with every basketball team that's functioning is bringing him in for some kind of advice. So I don't think it's a team's league I don't think the league looks at Tibbs and says, well, he can't coach anymore.
I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that at all. But Tom Thibodeau's not like 77 or 78 years old. He's in his early 60s. So he was on the open market. His team won a lot of games. Nobody tried to hire him. That's just a fact. Yeah. If you have an NFL coach who's out there who's winning 10, 11, 12 games a year, even if they don't get to the Super Bowl, but they're getting to the divisional round or conference championship, I promise you that guy's getting called. Like somebody's going to call that guy to hire him. That's why I bring up, again, $30 million is a lot of team to try to buy. Out. I don't know it very well might be the deterrent, just the financial aspect. And I think Tom is really good. I think the game's passed him by a little bit, but that's just my opinion.
BT and Sal on the Fan, more calls we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.